Please be seated. What in heaven's name is Jesus doing? Someone needs to stop him. Tackle him before he steps down into that water. He can't start his ministry off like this. For heaven's sake, he's the Son of God after all. He's the everlasting King. John, stop him. You know better than Jesus does. If there's one thing you know for sure, John, it's that your baptism's for sinners, for the lowlifes and losers of this world, for Jews who know that they've failed and need to recommit themselves to Judaism once again, for Gentiles who want to start the process of becoming the people of God. They need to repent, but not Jesus. They need to have their sins washed away, but Jesus doesn't have any sins. Jesus is the sinless, royal Son of God. So Jesus, listen up. Don't go in there. You're not a sinner. You've got no sins to confess. The Jordan River's banks are full of rotten sinners, rotten to the core. The Jordan River waters swarm with the disgusting sins of the world's bottom feeders. Not even garbage fish can live in that stuff. Jesus, you shouldn't even get your feet wet. You're better than this. But our Lord's selective hearing kicks in. He completely ignores us, ignores John, goes right ahead and does the unthinkable, the completely shocking, the downright outrageous, the out and out scandalous. He steps right into that sin-infested water. It reeks with sin. It's worse than the Dana Point's bird-infested breakwater. Yuck! Enough to make you vomit if you can really fathom what's going on here. Makes the harbor so fouled by winter storm look like it's the heated swimming pool at 24-hour fitness. The Jordan, polluted with every kind of sin of every sinner imaginable. Worse than the Ganges. Naaman the Syrian was right. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the rivers of Israel, the Jordan included? Naaman was right. The Abana and Pharpar weren't so polluted as the Jordan. And you name it, Jesus is hip deep in it. Hip deep in more than just muddy Jordan water. Jesus is hip deep in water filled with the sins of idolatry, adultery, pornography, sexual immorality, murder, theft, gossip, coveting, cursing, hate, prejudice, lying, insubordination, up to his eyeballs in the sin of despising God's word and his day, in unforgiveness, love of self, self-justification. Jesus jumps right into that toxic water. Rancid, rotten water, with nothing at all to protect him. No 9mm wetsuit, no sin protective goggles. He dives right in completely unprotected, and his body is covered with it all. Downright disgusting, isn't it? We'd never do anything like this, not even on Fear Factor. Even an angel from heaven wouldn't do this. And so now maybe you can understand why our Lord's own family thought he was crazy. But God the Father doesn't think he's crazy. He's delighted. And so's the Holy Spirit. The first and the third persons of the Holy Trinity are thrilled that the second person of the Holy Trinity, the Son of the Father, King Jesus himself, receives John's baptism. They're all collectively elated that he's drenched himself in this putrid, sin-plagued baptismal water. We're repulsed. We'd run. But the Father attends. And the Holy Spirit descends. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. Ever wanted to get a good look into heaven? Then take a peek into it from the baptismal font. That's where the heavens were torn open, never to clothe themselves on you again. And from those waters, heaven gets a good look at Jesus in those waters. Ah, maybe the Father and the Holy Spirit will miraculously save Jesus from this poisonous, sin-infected water. Play heavenly lifeguard and rescue him. After all, this sin-polluted water will kill Jesus. And that is exactly right. The sins in this water will kill him. There in that water, he's taking the sins of the world into his body at his baptism. Sins washed clean off of us, he absorbs. And his plan is that he is going to shoulder them all the way to Calvary's cross, where he does his Good Friday thing, where he answers for the world's sins in his death as the suffering servant Son of God. The world's sins are his. Your sins are his. He takes them as his own in this water. He becomes the sinner in the world's place to take the punishment for all the world's sins. And what's the punishment? Nothing but death. And worst of all, to be the one forsaken by the Father's love. That's hell. But it's salvation for you and me. No wonder the Holy Spirit descends on Jesus in the form of a dove. In, with, and under the baptized body of Jesus, the world is being recreated. Remember how Genesis begins? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Be light," and there was light. Do you see what's going on here? It's a new and greater Genesis. A new, greater beginning in and with Jesus' body. The Holy Spirit hovered over the water in the first creation, and now the Holy Spirit hovers over the Word, over Jesus. Another beginning, another Genesis. Water, Holy Spirit, Word now become flesh. It's a whole new beginning. No wonder the Father's delighted. Just like in Genesis, he was delighted over all things. And when he said, "It is good, it is good," it is very, very good. And so now with Jesus and what he's doing, the Father is delighted. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." There's no mistake. Jesus is God's Son. Jesus is the Savior. And He saves the world by water, just like He did with Noah and the ark floating on the water, saving Noah and his family, that tiny little church of God. And from this water, He goes to the cross with the world's sins to die. What a Savior. And best of all, He's your Savior. His Good Friday death is for you. And the proof of that is in your baptism. There in your baptism, Jesus tucked you into His pocket. Safe you are, hid with Christ in God. Jesus clothed you with His dying and rising again, and He clothed you with that at the font. At least, that's what St. Paul tells us in Romans, in chapter 6 of his letter to the church at Rome. Unless, of course, St. Paul was mistaken about what God was doing in baptism. I don't think so, though. At your baptism, at the font, Jesus took you into His sin-forgiving death. And because of Jesus' baptism, His death, and His resurrection, heaven is cracked wide open for you. Not because you have done such a great job by your sanctified life at storming heaven's gates, but because Jesus has cracked it open for you. And now, you, covered with the sopping, wet, dripping with baptismal water robe of Jesus' righteousness, do you know what God, the all-knowing Father, from whom nothing in your life is hid? Do you know what He says to you as He looks at you from over the top of His glasses? Do you, dear sinner, do you know what the Father in heaven says to you? For Christ's sake, He says to you, you are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. Baptized into the death and resurrection of my only begotten son, in you I am well pleased. That's right. You. All in the name of the very one who has credited His righteousness to you. In the name of Jesus. Amen.